Welcome to Kuvera's weekly digest on the most critical developments related to business, finance, and the markets. In this edition, we talk about the positive changes in offering in India's health insurance market. We also explain why S&P Global's decision to improve its outlook on India matters and how the Reserve Bank of India has cracked down on evergreening of bad loans. We then finish it off with the raging hot weather and some chest talk. Better than gold. It is health that is real wealth and not pieces of gold and silver, Mahatma Gandhi said once upon a time. Gandhi was in news this week, for reasons well beyond the scope of this newsletter. But his comment on health being the real wealth is, indeed, of critical interest to all of us. And this week brought some good news on this front with India's insurance regulator issuing several directions to health insurers to make life a little easier for people. The Insurance Regulatory and Development Authority of India, or IRDAI, asked health insurance companies to approve the final cashless authorization at the time of discharging a patient within 3 hours of receiving the bills. In case of a delay, the insurers will have to shell out the additional amount charged by the hospital, the IRDAI said. The IRDAI also asked health insurers to offer policyholders an option to either select higher sum insured or a discount on renewal premium in the event there is no claim on a policy in a given year. Policyholders will also be able to cancel their insurance policies any time after issuing a 7-day notice to the insurer in case they are not satisfied or find a better deal elsewhere. In addition, the regulator prescribed higher penalties for insurance companies if they don't comply with orders of the insurance ombudsman within 30 days. These directions will definitely help policyholders breathe a little better when dealing with healthcare issues of their own or their family members, especially at a time when hospital bills are going through the roof. So, if you are an existing policyholder, be aware of these additional facilities that the insurance regulator has just granted. And if you don't already have a health insurance policy, go get one right now and stay healthy. From S&P with love. Moving on from individual health to the health of the economy, India has finally received a glowing report card from S&P Global Ratings after a decade. The ratings firm raised the outlook on India to positive from stable on May 29. To be sure, S&P continues to rate India at BBB, which is the lowest investment-grade sovereign credit rating. This is in line with the assessment of the other two global rating agencies, Moody's Ratings, B3, and Fitch Ratings, BBB. However, unlike Moody's and Fitch, S&P now has a positive outlook on India. Our positive outlook on India is predicated on its robust economic growth, pronounced improvement in the quality of government spending, and political commitment to fiscal consolidation, S&P said as it praised the economy's remarkable comeback from the COVID-19 pandemic and forecast a GDP growth rate of close to 7% over the next 3 years. But perhaps the most important part of S&P's commentary was a non-action, continued policy stability, deepening economic reforms, high infrastructure investment, and reduction in the government's debt burden could lead to a higher rating over the next 24 months, it said. The outlook upgrade from S&P and the prospect of an actual rating upgrade is a win for the Indian government in more than one way. The first is the praise amid a raucous election season, with S&P saying Prime Minister Narendra Modi's administration has increasingly shifted budget allocation to infrastructure spending. The second win is one that must be seen in a broader context and longer timescale. For years now, the Modi government has been waging a war with S&P, Moody's, and Fitch as it thinks that the lowest investment grade rating that has been assigned to India is not a true reflection of the economy's underlying strength. Such has been the extent of the government's indignation that the Finance Ministry's Economic Survey for 2020-21, released a day before the Union Budget for 2021-22 was presented in Parliament, contained an entire chapter titled "Does India's Sovereign Credit Rating Reflect Its Fundamentals?" No. Why does the country's credit rating matter so much? The rating indicates a country's creditworthiness, the higher, the better. A better rating allows a country to borrow money at a lower cost, or rate of interest, as it is deemed to be a more secure loan. This is one of the reasons why the yield on the 10-year US government bond is 4.55%, while that on the Indian counterpart is 7.05%. For rating agencies, the bottom line has seemingly always been about India's public debt levels. Even before the pandemic, during which the combined debt of the central and state governments crossed 90% of India's GDP, the three agencies had been voicing their concerns about the state of government finances. The sand seems to be shifting now. S&P expects the government's debt-to-GDP ratio to decline to 81% in the next few years, aided by the rapid economic growth and sharper-than-expected cuts in the annual fiscal deficits. All action RBI. It has been a busy 2024 for the Reserve Bank of India, and the central bank is not stopping anytime soon to take a breather. After effectively ordering Paytm Payments Bank to wind down its operations in late January, the RBI in March barred IIFL Finance from giving out gold loans and JM Financial from giving loans against shares and debentures. This week, it told ECL Finance Limited and Edelweiss Asset Reconstruction Company Limited, both Edelweiss Group companies, to stop certain types of transactions. According to the RBI, the two companies acted together to evergreen stressed exposures of ECL Finance. Security receipts were valued incorrectly by both the companies, with ECL Finance violating multiple norms, include those relating to loan-to-value for lending against shares and incorrect reporting. To top it all, the RBI said that instead of taking meaningful remedial action, the entities resorted to new ways to circumvent regulations. And as was the case with Paytm Payments Bank and others, behind-the-scenes conversations between the RBI and senior management of the two companies did not result in any meaningful corrective action. This forced the RBI's hand. The central bank has had to make some big and tough decisions against companies from the financial sector in the last year or so. But if the sector as a whole is healthy, S&P noted on May 20 that it believed that the balance sheets of India's corporate and financial sectors were now stronger than before the pandemic, then such business restrictions for some entities is a small price to pay. Market wrap. India's stock markets had managed to end in the green last week and touch new record highs this week, but eventually lost ground due mainly to uncertainties related to the outcome of the Lok Sabha elections. The last phase of the polls will be held on June 1 with results due on June 4. The 30 Sensex touched an all-time high of 76,009.68 on Monday, while the 50 script Nifty hit 23,110.80. For the week, the Sensex ended almost 2% down while the Nifty fell 1.85%. Only 1 in 5 Nifty stocks closed in the green this week. Drugmaker Divi's Labs led the winners, gaining more than 4%. Adani Ports rose after news it will replace Wipro in BSE's 30-stock Sensex. Hindalco, Bajaj Auto, IndusInd Bank, Larsen & Toubro and HDFC Bank were among the others that ended higher. Nifty stocks that ended in the red were led by Tech Mahindra, which lost nearly 7%. Wipro, TCS and Infosys were among the other tech stocks that slipped. State-run companies ONGC, NTPC and BPCL fell, too. Grasim, Titan, Maruti Suzuki, Nestle, Bajaj Finserv and Tata Steel were among the other big losers this week. That's all for this week. Until next week, happy investing!